Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for making AOA a part of your day here on this February 2nd. Well, this Groundhog Day, I should say. And folks, I've got bad news. If you follow the groundhogs, your weather forecaster, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow this morning. So 6 more weeks of winter. I know a lot of you folks across the central Corn Belt right now are feeling that winter impact today as that massive snowstorm makes its way across the Corn Belt. Folks, if you're tuning in and plowing some snow in that weather, do be careful out there. I'll tell you what, it's not snowing where I am. I'm down in Houston, Texas today. We're at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association annual convention down here. Our friends at the National Corn Growers Association brought me down to talk about the intersection between cattle and corn. We just heard from John Linder, chairman of the NCGA board, and now it's time to talk to Mark Swanson. He's the chairman of the U.S. Meat Export Federation board. He's the CEO of Burco Corporation. Mark, thanks for taking the time to sit with me here today.
You bet. Thank you, Mike.
USMEF, we've talked about the Meat Export Federation on the program before. Obviously, you guys are doing great work. What was it that got you involved with the Meat Export Federation back when you first joined?
Well, that's a really interesting question. My organization, the company that I represent, Burco Corporation, we're a supplier to the red meat industry. And one of the things that we do is for all the processing plants across the U.S., 95% of all beef that is produced in the U.S. either goes through part of our equipment or some of our processing chemicals that help clean these plants.
So intimately connected to the beef industry.
Very.
So U.S. Meat Export Federation, obviously when we're exporting U.S. meat, we're also exporting U.S. corn. And Mark, talk to me a little bit about how USMEF works with corn growers, both the NCGA at the national level and the state associations around the country.
Sure, you bet. Well, corn growers are obviously a critical aspect to USMEF. USMEF has 9 funding sectors, and corn growers represent one of those sectors. Well, when you consider the volume of export, beef exports that are traveling across the globe, roughly 15% of all red meat production goes export. Well, if you do the math, and you figure out how much corn is going into those beef exports traveling across the globe, corn growers are a critical part of the entire food chain, and we certainly appreciate all their support and help.
When you talk to folks around the world who are looking at interacting with U.S. meat, beef in particular, Mark, what are they looking for? What qualities of U.S. beef do we bring to the world stage that folks just can't find other places?
Well, we have the unique position of having the highest quality grain-fed beef on the globe. And there is no other country or region in the world that can match the quality from both an eating experience as well as food safety of the U.S. beef production. Well, when importing countries want to have a high level of eating experience for their consumers, frankly, there is only one place they can go, and that's U.S. beef production.
You mentioned food safety. Now, I've been having conversations here on the trade show floor with different folks involved in the beef industry. And as an American, food safety is kind of taken for granted. I have honestly never thought twice about the food I'm putting in my mouth, whether it's going to keep me healthy, whether it's going to make me sick, et cetera, et cetera. I realize that's a luxury we've got in this country that folks around the world really don't share. So when they look at U.S. beef, they're also looking at the supply chain, the food safety regimen. I mean, they take all of that into consideration, it sounds like.
Correct. And one of the unique aspects of the U.S. beef production food chain is we do have the fortunate experience of taking it for granted. I mean, we assume that the food is going to be safe, and that is an accurate assessment. That's not the case in the rest of the world. The U.S. has a phenomenally efficient and safe food chain, and when you're an importing country, and you can also make that assumption, that's a differentiating part of the model that really no other country in the world can offer.
Mark, I want to ask you about China. Obviously, we've seen phenomenal beef exports to China this past year. Their market is open, it seems. They're developing a taste for U.S. beef, I tell you. The number of conversations I've had with beef producers who are really excited to see China writing some checks, and those checks cash, I think is keeping them pretty pumped. As you look at the market opportunities in China, who are the buyers of American beef? Are we selling mainly to the richy riches across China, or are we making it down to the, I don't want to say common worker, but are we seeing the middle class get access to?
Well, what's really, really interesting about China is that the obviously, as everybody knows, the number of people in China is enormous. Well, as China moves up that economic scale and their middle class has grown, when you have that number of people that are moving into the middle class is the consuming public in China. Well, that creates an enormous market just because of the volume of people, but also because they're shifting into that middle class, which creates a great opportunity for U.S. beef exports.
Do you see that continuing through 2022?
Probably through 2022. I think the one caveat that we always have to put on with China is the unknown. They're a little unpredictable. And you never know when politics will get involved. But just from a consuming public standpoint and the fact that there's a growing middle class, the future looks pretty bright.
That's fantastic. And, you know, we talk a lot about China because they're new and it's a good story. And like you say, 1.3, 1.4 billion people getting access is a big number. But they are kind of fickle. And we have seen China move in and out of the markets. And, of course, that makes it a little scary to depend on them. So it's always good to build that that audience. Mm-hmm. How is USMEF working with other countries around the world to make sure we've got not all our eggs in one basket?
You bet. Well, we can't ignore our number one and number two trading partners, which are Japan and South Korea. And those are wonderful partners. They increase the value of beef exports substantially. And USMEF is always continuing to grow the exports into those markets and bring value to those markets. In addition, MEF has had the benefit of really having a strong outreach. We have people coming in from other countries right now. We've been going to other countries. We haven't sat on the sideline through this COVID. We've been doing outreach. So we've had people coming in from Europe, Africa, really many in the Middle East. And so we've been doing quite a bit of outreach and continuing to grow and foster beef exports in all these other parts of the world. So, when one market does have a hiccup and maybe some political ramifications occur, USMEF is laying the spade work, so we have exports going into all parts of the world, and we continue to have growing exports for the beef industry.
Where do you see, other than China, where do you see substantial growth potential existing here in the near term?
We're seeing in the Caribbean. Oh. We're seeing growth in Africa. Africa, surprisingly, has a huge growth opportunity for U.S. beef exports. Europe has been a little bit fickle. But you take the EU as a whole with 750 million people, there is growth opportunity there. But we're also seeing in areas like, Taiwan and Vietnam. And we certainly hope that exports to South Korea and China and Japan continue to grow.
Yeah. It's great to have a buyers of our high-end stuff, overseas. We sell a whole basket of it across
the
pond.
And we can't forget about Mexico.
Right.
Mexico takes an enormous amount of beef.
And with USMCA, now it's been a year. Has that supply chain been able to stay open? Has that proved to be a good freshening of that NAFTA trade agreement?
It has. We've had great success with both Canada and Mexico, and we've continued to see trade, both beef and pork, heading north and south of the border.
Mark, Europe, you touched on it. The challenges into Europe, mainly political and regulatory rather than financial?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The personal opinion is we get our high quality product over there, the demand's going to be there because there's a large middle class in that particular part of the world. And if we can get our product over there, they're going to love the product. The political ramifications have been difficult, and that's been extended for virtually decades.
Do we have an opportunity with the Brexit vote in Great Britain to make some inroads in the UK?
Well, I think that could be a starting point. We've had some exports going over to Europe for a while. There's pretty high restrictions on it, But I think the UK could be a good opening of a door for us.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on all the markets around the world for American beef. Mark Swanson, the chairman of the USMEF board, thank you so much for talking to us today.
You bet. Thank you. Appreciate it.